Well, it's good to see everybody. It's December. We made it. We made it. If your shopping hadn't already told you that on Friday, around our community, it was a little busy. Some of you probably hit some stores. Some of you probably didn't. But it is December, which means you can officially put up your tree and not be sacrilegious like my family did. And we put it up in November. Or if you're the kind of person and you like a real tree, it's probably safe to maybe get it now. That way, if you happen to breathe on it, all the needles don't fall off and dries out. Or if you're the type who loves to clean, you don't like a real tree like me because it just drives you crazy when it's all over the floor. And so we all have these wonderful Christmas traditions that we like. And so that's kind of our family. But anyways, this morning, we are going to begin a new series. We're going to be doing a series through Advent. And we're going to be pushing pause on the series that we've been doing on the book of Ephesians that we've been walking through. And we're going to pick that up again on January 5th, and we'll get into that. And we're going to spend some time going through the passage on marriage. We're going to do a couple of weeks in there. And so that's some stuff to look forward to. But one thing about Advent is it's this great and beautiful tradition that helps us anticipate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Advent means arrival or coming. And Advent, people, is to commemorate Christ's first coming, and it's the anticipation of his second coming. It's the longing for our Savior to come again, and this Christmas season is meant to do that. It's meant to create in us a sense of anticipation. And so today, as we're sitting here and working through this, we're going to be looking forward with longing and expectation. And this morning, we're going to be looking at hope. And as I was thinking about it, it reminds me of my childhood. And I know everybody's childhoods are a little bit different, but in my home, we kind of had this tradition on Christmas Eve where we got to open one small gift. We would usually go to church as a family, and then we would come home and, you know, the tree would have all the gifts under it, and we'd be allowed to open one little gift, and it wasn't like what we got to pick, it was handed to us, as in, this is what you're going to open. And usually there was this thing where what usually happened every single year was the gift that we were given on Christmas Eve was usually like, it was kind of a part one to a part two gift. It was kind of the teaser about what was to come on Christmas Day. And so my parents would always give us this thing, and I don't know if my parents realized what they did to us, but what they did is, how do you expect me to go to sleep now? You've given me this tiny little gift, which is a preemptive about what's going to happen the next day, because usually, like I said, it was a part one of a part two. I remember one year we got all new skis and stuff, so I think we'd ended up getting a pair of gloves. And you're like, that means something else. That means there's going to be bigger things tomorrow. And naturally, my parents would do that every single year, and I would lay awake for hours at night wondering what it was. I couldn't go to sleep. I would lay there in my bed and be like, I wonder what it's going to be. I think it's going to be this. And if you're anything like me, we do this as adults and as children. We begin to build these scenarios in our head of how this thing is going to go down. You know, it might be this, and I think it's going to be this gift. And as I was laying in there thinking about it, I thought to myself, this is going to make me cool. Like, whatever this is going to fix my life. This is going to make me a kid who has friends, because this gift will make me popular, and I'll have all these wonderful things, and I'll be so joyful and so happy. And then I would usually wake up in the morning, and we had a tendency, my brother and I have a younger brother by 2 years, and we would sneak down at like 5 a.m., to see what was going on down there. My parents weren't awake. They said later on when we got older, they knew we were sneaking down, but we would sneak down to see what's going on. We didn't open the presents, but we would look at them and see what's happening. I'm glad the children are gone, because I'm sure none of them ever do that. Some of you kids that are still here, you've probably never done that. But what would happen sometimes is I would build this scenario in my mind so big and so large, and at times I would open this Christmas gift, and it wasn't always what I thought it was going to be. Sometimes I created a scenario in my mind that was far greater than what the real gift was. And it wasn't that it was a bad gift, and it wasn't that I was ungrateful, but it maybe wasn't as cool as I'd hoped for. Or maybe this wasn't going to make me quite as happy and as excited as I'd hoped for. And so I had this thing in my mind that I was hoping for. And my hope in whatever the gift was is that it would provide something that I was feeling. This feeling of excitement, this feeling of whatever it is, and I'm a bit of a daydreamer even to this day, and my daydreams never really ever came true on Christmas morning. And as I was thinking about it, I often built up this thing in my mind, and when you're young, you can't explain what the gift is, but in reality, that gift was going to fill a need within my heart and within my life. I couldn't express it as a child, but as I look back, I'm like, well, this will fix my loneliness. You know, this gift will fix my popularity, or this gift will fix something that's in me, this emptiness, or it'll fix my coolness factor at school. I'll have friends. And what I saw is I was putting all of my hope into this tiny little gift, and it didn't quite turn out that way. I did it even as I was a young man and I started to get older in life. And maybe we've all done this at one time or another. We put our hope in a circumstance that was about to happen later in life, thinking it would solve something. I remember being young thinking, when I get married, when I have children, when I have a family, when I can buy the truck I want, get the house I want, and get the job that pays the way I want, then I'm done. Right? Because then it's all fulfilled. I'll be happy. This life will be great. I got all the things that I wanted. All the things turned out. It would kind of be like Christmas morning getting the ultimate gift. And we've built these things in our mind. And in my mind, if I had all of those things, I would have joy. I would have peace. I would need nothing else. I'm married. I have children. I got a house. You know, I'm all happy. Everything is turning out. But the truth of life is this, is that a lot of those things have brought us more disappointment. A lot of those things have let us down. A lot of those things have not provided the joy and peace that we thought it would. And in fact, a lot of those things have maybe even robbed us of joy and peace. Maybe the career path you sought out and you now have has not turned out the way you thought it would. It's not brought to you what you thought it would bring. Maybe that the person that you married is not what you'd hoped for, and let me explain that before you're like, that's rude. No, no, here's my point. This marriage thing is not easy. We don't connect like I thought we would. We don't get along as well as I thought we would. I thought that person would complete me. I thought everything would be sorted out. My marriage has not turned out what I'd hoped for. For some of us, maybe it's about our finances. You know, if I had this job, this career, this family, I'd make X amount of dollars, and that's not turned out what we'd hoped for. It's not turned out as well as you've dreamed. I know for me, I dreamed that if I'd make X amount of dollars, everything would be okay. The reality now is I make X amount of dollars and not everything's okay. Am I the only one? You're staring at me like I'm alone up here. Oh, I got some head nods. Good. Because otherwise I'll just go preach this to myself in my office and you can do more Christmas carols or something for yourselves. The Christmas season, people, is about hope. It's about excitement. We're excited about it. It's fun to sing. It's fun to do these things. But Christmas season can also be really disappointing for a lot of people. For some of us, it's like that Christmas Eve gift we've been holding in our hand, and then the reality is not what we thought it would be. Christmas is more difficult than we thought. In fact, one of the things we know about depression is that it's closely linked to a sense of hopelessness. That's something that is very much on the rise at Christmas. Some of us, Christmas is not going to be as smooth as we hope for. Right, a lot of us, we put our hope in our family. If we could all just get together, if we could all just be in one place, we'd all get along, everything would work out. But what inevitably happens is the old issues arise. The stuff in the background has a tendency to come forward. The relational strain kicks in. We put our hope in a gift for someone that you've bought for them, and then maybe when they get it, it didn't turn out that great, and you're kind of disappointed that they're disappointed. We put our hope in our kids having a great Christmas at our own financial peril. Now it's not nearly as much fun come January. It's supposed to be this season of great hope and joy and peace. That's what we sing about. But in some strange way, it has a tendency to blow up on us. We're excited to get the tree out and the presents and all of that, and then we can't rip it down fast enough until it's done and ready to move on from the whole entire thing. My point here is I think there's a pattern that we have fallen into. But I also believe that there is a way for us to avoid this pattern that plagues so many of us. And I think a lot of it has to do with our lives and this idea of a misplaced hope. We have put our hope in things and in people and relationships, and ultimately they disappoint us. We've all done this. We're already doing it. The season is upon us. You've already built this hope up in your mind of what's going to happen over the next 25 days. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. We're going to go to kids' Christmas concerts. We're going to pretend they're fun, but they're not, right? But you go anyways because you're a mom and dad and that's what you do. Family functions, Christmas parties. You're hoping your children will come home and visit you. You'll get to see the grandkids. We'll all be together. Sometimes it falls apart. It doesn't turn out the way that we'd hoped. We will do fun things, but maybe it's not as fun as you'd hoped. I think the air for a lot of us has come out of our hope for Christmas. So let me ask you a question. Where have you placed your hope this year? Where have you placed your hope this year? What have I put my hope in that if this thing was to work out, Christmas will be great? If I was to put my hope in this event, then I could say Christmas was a success. If this was to work out, it would satisfy the longing that is in all of us in one way or the other, the ache in our soul, something that would deliver us from the situation that we find ourselves in. And we all have hope in this life, but if we're honest, it seems a little fleeting. It seems like in some ways that we can't hang on to it, and the air constantly is being let out of it. And so this morning, I want to do a little demo. I don't usually do demos around here very often, but we're going to do a demo this morning. We'll see how this works. I was going to get kids to do this, but I'll just do it myself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to blow up three balloons here. I'm going to write on it. There's a million different hopes that come up at Christmas, but I think there's probably a couple that maybe tend to be primary for some of us. The first one, I'm going to call marriage. We're hoping certain things are going to happen over the holidays. We're hoping we'll get along. We're hoping we'll agree on the money that gets spent. We hope we'll agree on our in-laws, right? We hope we'll agree on that. Whose house we're going to go to, who we're going to spend time with, who we're not going to spend time with. Right, you do it. You just don't want to say it. Oh, that one's already wrecked. Good thing I brought extras. I think another hope that we often have at Christmas is this idea of money. That if I was to spend X amount of dollars, my spouse would be happy, my children would be happy, the grandkids would be happy. So we're going to call that one money. And then the third one, this one's going to be our family one. This tends to be the more difficult one over the holidays for many of us, whether we travel to them or they're coming here. Here's my point. I think each of these can represent our hope in life at the moment. Right? The air is full. Something about a balloon that is fun to play with. Right? We're excited about it. We give balloons to children. They love to do things with them. And so we're at December 1, and the way we're looking at Christmas already is family's going to be great. The money will be fine. Marriage will be okay. And we put all these hopes into these things, and I think what happens for a lot of people and what eventually happens to all of us is this. When it comes to the money, usually one little thing begins to occur. And you'll see, I caught a small one in there. And when it comes to money, eventually, that thing's going to deflate. If our hope is put in putting in the perfect gift for somebody, that's it. If our hope is put into our family, Not everything in the family is going to turn out great. And if we put all of it in the marriage, that too is eventually going to deflate. What happens when this is our life? When the air comes out of the things that we have put our hope in? When we start to lose air, what happens when our marriage is leaking? I put my hope in this spouse and things are not going well, and for some of you that feels like our marriage today. For some of us, it's the money. It's just deflating. It doesn't matter what we do, we've tried to buy things to fix it and it's deflating and it's falling behind. We've put our hope in our family and the air out of that is leaking, and here's what inevitably happens is we try to pick these things up again and we just keep trying to put more air into it. If I was to untie it, we just keep trying to, I'll just blow more air into my family, I'll just make more money, I'll just keep putting more time in my marriage, and what we realize eventually is they just continue to lose air and we can't keep up. And so here are my thoughts around Advent. If everything we put our hope in eventually loses air, what am I going to hang on to? If everything we put our hope in eventually loses air, then what am I going to hang on to? Who or what can keep the air in hope at Christmas? What can keep these full? What can breathe true air and true life into this? It's not bad to hope in a marriage. It's not bad to hope in money or a family. In fact, those are all good things. They're gifts from God. But if our hope is put into things, eventually they're all going to deflate. If you look at the word hope in our society, we use it in a very funny way. We use the phrase all the time, I hope everything works out. I hope my marriage will turn out okay. I hope we're going to have enough money this year. I hope family will come and visit, and I sure hope we all get along. I hope people will come and visit me. I hope it'll warm up after today. But what I want us to see is, where is our hope? Because we use the word hope in our daily language all the time. But what I want you to see this morning is the hope we're going to talk about in Scripture is entirely different. In fact, in Scripture it's summarized this way. Hope means a confident expectation of the future. It is a contagious enthusiasm for what is to come. I mean, this is what Christmas is supposed to be, right? But for many of us, we feel quite the opposite. We're already into December, and these balloons, for some of you, already represent Christmas. The air is already coming out of it because there's already been strife. There's always been marital issues. The money is already a problem. And the air of Christmas is already starting to deflate on you. And so let's open the Scriptures for a moment today. We only have one verse we're going to do. And I want to see if we can figure out how to keep the air in Christmas this year. We're going to be reading Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Let me just set the table for you quickly here in the book of Romans, just so you kind of have some context. Paul is writing to the church very much like he was doing through the book of Ephesians, and what followed closely, and we kind of did over the last couple of weeks, is Paul is pointing out that the source of peace, the source of fellowship in the church is by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We've talked about this quite a bit over the last few months, that one of the things we see as the source of unity within the local church is the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we are called to as church people here is we are called, the Bible says, to maintain the unity of the church. That's our job, to work together to maintain the unity. We're not here to create the unity. It says that God, the Holy Spirit, creates the unity. Our job is to try to maintain it. And so Paul is using some of this language a little bit in here. He's trying to help us maintain the good things of what he has. that the Holy Spirit could provide hope to our lives, to the church, and to be able to put the air back into Christmas and to breathe new life into the holidays for some of us. And so we're just going to go through this one verse and break it down into a couple things. And so you can just follow along. We're just going to do a little bit here. We're going to be a bit shorter today. But it says in there the first couple of words, may the God of hope. The first thing you and I need to know right away is this, is that God is the source of hope. He is the supplier of hope. He is the creator of hope. Hope, people, is the essence and nature of God. It is his character. His hope is not based on people. It is not based on circumstances or even potential circumstances. His hope is based on his promises. The things that he said he will do. You see, what happens, people, is when we look at our lives, and if it's our marriage and our money or our family, our hope is usually then set on circumstances. The circumstance of my marriage, the circumstance of my money, or the circumstance of my family. And if those things work out, then I'll have hope. And then the great question we're wrestling with is those things are not always going to work out, so then where do I find hope? And I think what happens to a lot of people at the holidays is they have no hope. Their holidays can often be hopeless. Because I think we put them in things that will always lose air. We're putting our hope upon a circumstance. And I think what happens for a lot of us is we use the word hope almost like a wish. When we say, I hope this will turn out, it's almost like a wish because we don't actually know. But what we see in here is that the God of hope is a God whose hope is in the promises that he has made, and we know he's kept every promise that he has ever made. So we're talking about putting our hope in something that does not deflate. We're talking about putting our hope in something that does not lose air. God made promises to the church. He's made promises to my life. He's made promises to your life. He promises he will return again. He promises that we are forgiven. He promises that man can be reconciled to God. People, our hope is not to be based on the circumstances of life, but on the promises that God gives to us. Let's keep going. May the God of hope fill you. God is the one who will put the air into your life. God is the one who can put the air into your marriage. God is the one who can breathe air into your finances. God is the one who can breathe air into your family. He can breathe life into us. He is the one that fills us up. The question is, well, what is he going to fill us with? Well, the rest of the verse says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. God will put the air of joy and peace into my marriage, into my finances, and into my family. And what we mean by joy is this, is the Bible describes it more as of an inward satisfaction of the soul. God can so fill your soul with peace today. God can fill your soul with joy. And that's not necessarily an outward thing. It's not being happy on the outside or whatever, but sometimes that's a settledness in our own soul. What's interesting is if you look all the way back to the book of Genesis in the very beginning, we're not going to go there, but what we know is that God created man by what? Breathing life into him. I believe God still does that today with us. That he wants to breathe life into your marriage this year. He wants to breathe life into your relationships with your family. He wants to breathe life into your finances. He wants to breathe peace into our homes. And that's another inward settledness in our soul. And what you need to see is he puts the joy and peace together. The kind of joy and peace we're talking about is, again, it's not an external, but it's very much an internal. In fact, what he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants to breathe that into our life. He wants to fill your balloon of marriage with that, and with your money and with your families. And that is the kind of air, people, that doesn't leak. Let's keep going and see what else he says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You say, what does he mean by in believing? What he's saying here is that a faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is to believe the gospel. Believe in Scripture. Believe in the promises of God. And as we do this, people, we experience joy. We experience peace. We experience hope. The God of hope fills us with joy and peace when we believe in him. And so why does he do this? Well, it says here in the next part of the verse, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is what I want for us this year. That the Holy Spirit would fill you with hope. It says they're abounding in hope. The God of hope is longing for us to abound in hope. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we produce fruit, as we talked about, but that should also be a growing desire for God, a hope in the Lord. The more God, the Holy Spirit, fills your heart and fills your life, the more he is breathing life into you, the more joy, the more peace, the more hope. It actually produces an abundance, the Bible says. So let's try this one more time. I could call this one marriage. And God, it says here, has an abounding hope, which means he will continue to blow more and more air into your marriage. I could keep blowing this up till it explodes. I won't do that, but it would be a pretty cool trick, but doesn't sound good through the microphone. You need to know that wherever your marriage is today, that our God, who is abounding in hope, has an endless supply of air for your marriage. This could be the money one. I'm not going to blow up more, it takes too long, but this could be the money one. I believe God can put more air. He has an endless amount of air into our finances. And this is not about us getting more money, people. That's not what the money one is about. It's breathing life into it and maybe how we view our money. Am I generous? Have I put myself in a position where I can't be generous? Maybe for some of us, this balloon needs to be our family. The one who supplies the hope has an endless supply of air for your family. God can breathe hope into all of us. His air has no end and has no limit. And so my prayer this week is this, is that the hope of God would fill us this season. That God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, would breathe fresh air into new life of this season. That we would not just be another Christmas, not just another Advent, another tree, another present, another whatever. People, let's not allow the gifts or the marriage or the family or the money, which aren't bad things, but let's not the circumstances of those things define Christmas. Let's not let those things define our hope this year. Because we know that they will lose air. That they will eventually deflate. And so this year, let's put our hope into what Christ can do for us. Allow the hope of God to fill you so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says that you can abound in hope, a hope that does not disappoint and a hope that does not lose air. And so my hope for all of you is this, is that God would awaken a joy and a peace in you like you've never experienced before or have not experienced in a very long time. If we love and know Jesus and we put our hope in him and what he did on the cross, you will have great joy and an everlasting peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, a very simple verse you have for us today. I pray that we would maybe have seen this morning where we put our hope, that maybe we've put it in something this year that, if we're honest, is already losing air and having an effect on us, on our relationships, on our family. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would fill your people with hope, that you would breathe life into each and every one of us here, that you would breathe into them both joy and peace, and that we would abound in hope. And as we abound in hope, Lord, let that be infectious to the people around us, that we would abound in hope with our family and with our friends, that we would give reasons for the hope that we have in you this year. And as we continue to work through Advent, as we look at love and joy and peace, Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in everybody's heart and that we would abound in hope from you today. Breathe new life into each person here. We pray these things in Jesus' great name. Amen.